It's probably illegal in Resaca and on Sand Mountain. Sport Talk, weekdays 3 till 7 on 102.3 FM and WGOW.com.
The Talkmaster, the WGOW, 102.3 FM. Fred the Show for Tuesday, September 19th. About 10:25 in the morning. Expected to be a beautiful day out there. My name's Brad Geese. I'm your host. Max O'Brien is our producer. And it's my pleasure to welcome back into the studio Paul Hook of Pirate Springs Recovery. Welcome. Or you can call Captain Hook. Is Captain Hook all right?
Arr,
Captain.
And it's always good.
I was going to say that you can talk like a pirate anytime you like to during today's show. I really like that. Now, Paul, you've got good things in the works, and you're doing things that are helping people, maybe people who might, at this moment or in the past moments, been living in darkness.
Well, we do, and I'd kind of like to talk for a minute about some new statistics that came out yesterday and kind of give you an idea about why we're doing what we're doing.
Just to get a litmus test of where we're at.
Yeah, you know, they've been talking about overdose deaths a lot, and nationally and statewide.
Opioid.
And so some new statistics were released yesterday. So 2015, the overdose deaths in Tennessee reached 1,451 people. 2016, that went up to 1,631.
Wow.
12% increase.
Jeez.
That's stupid. Even worse, fentanyl, which they largely attribute the growth in... 74% from 2015 to 2016, went up from 169 to 294.
Now, is fentanyl, is this the one that's really the monster in the room? It sounds like when mixed with other drugs, especially, that produces a particularly deadly mix.
Yeah, well, fentanyl on its own is 100 times as powerful as morphine.
Wow.
So just a little teeny bit goes a long way, okay, and will take you to death really quick.
I was going to say, you don't need to be mixing something that strong with heroin at all, but there's people out there that they want that. They want the ultimate rush.
Well,
they want the super rush.
Yeah, so today we have people worrying about, terrorism, and we have people worrying about the crazies, and we're not worried about drugs, and I don't get that.
Killing probably more people right beneath our noses than...
Well, that's right. If you look at Tennessee deaths due to auto accidents last year, they're somewhere around 1,100, and here we are at 1,600
right
for drug overdoses.
So just take a while to digest that for a second. For every person that dies of an automobile accident, there's more than one person that dies of an overdose.
That's right. So I'm here to tell you that unless the community gets involved, this problem is not going away. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Right. So what are some of the ways that the community can get involved?
Well, I mean, we're doing this event Saturday. And we're going to start talking.
A treasure hunt, which is going to be very cool.
That's right. The treasure hunt has actually been going on since the 1st. We're going to do the treasure rewards on Saturday.
That's right. We had you in when it first started how you're going to get different stamps from as you accomplish your treasure map. Assignments.
But the whole purpose of that is to attract people to a recovery-related event that wouldn't normally come.
Right.
You know, when they hear recovery, it's like, so what? So there's people that have gotten off of drugs and bad. Well, you know, we give them away gifts and bring them to a free concert and show them some fun, and maybe they'll come. And if they come, they're going to hear a message, and the message is going to be, look, people are dying, and we need to do something about it. So what is it that we need to do? Well, we need to get behind solutions. We need to... Instead of looking down our nose and castigating people that look like they have problems with drugs, we need to let them know that there's hope.
Right.
There's a way out of the darkness.
And for some people, I know for me, it was the realization that this is not a matter of willpower. I'm struggling with disease now.
Right.
And that switch, once that flicks in your head, it's like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not a failure. Maybe I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
And then you can address it in a manner that seems to be much more beneficial and much more effective.
That's correct. So in the community, for some, it may just be as simple as an attitude adjustment where they talk a little different, treat people that look like they're having a drug problem a
right.
little different, law enforcement kind of changing their approach. But for others that have pet giving projects that are currently giving money to projects that aren't really saving lives but are being helpful,
right.
maybe they could redirect some of those funds for a little while we save some lives and bring down these death rates and bring people out of the darkness into recovery, which does way more than just help people survive. It creates a whole new subsection of society that's now, doing good things,
and
that is participating in society.
If you can walk through that darkness, for the most cases, you come across the other side even stronger.
That's right.
It provided you survive.
That's right. And I will tell you, the people that I know that are in recovery, and I've been in recovery for 30 years, most of the people that I know in recovery are the kindest, nicest, most empathetic, giving, caring individuals you'll ever know, because they came out of hell.
Right.
To get to where we are today. And the people that haven't done that are just used to where they've been.
Right. To them, it's just how, after a while, if you're in that vicious, desperate cycle of addiction, people know you're not getting drugs to get high anymore.
That's
right. You're getting drugs to, at best, feel normal for a little while.
That's right.
And that's when the despair starts to kick in, and that's where things can really go dark. And to know at that moment, you know what, I could do better than just feeling normal. I could do better by, ripping off my family just to feel normal for a little while, and I'll do the hard thing and feel normal for the rest of my life, better than normal.
Right. And so the objective of this whole event is to gather as many people as we can in one place to show
a supportive environment,
to show the community, to show Southeast Tennessee that we care and that we're ready to make a difference. So if there's people there on site that are struggling right now,
right,
and they're surrounded by 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people that are listening to this message and rooting the message on, cheering the message,
encouraging
and
them,
saying, yes, we agree, yes, we're behind this.
This is life-changing.
These people are going to say, well, maybe it's time for me to think about doing something different, and we will have counselors on site, and we're going to have organizations on site that have the capacity to do an intake and take people away to treatment.
Now, that
there
is, to me, that is so important. We're not driving you to take you to a place, but if you're in that position, and if you decide that your heart and your life is ready at that moment, they have people ready at that moment,
right,
counselors, professional people to talk to you and say, all right, you know what, let's get in this vehicle, and we'll take you somewhere where you can start to get better.
Right. And there's so many areas that we can use help in the days ahead. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and start a fire. And we're going to try and keep that fire stoked until this event happens next year.
Right.
Because this is the first of what's going to be an annual event.
Great. And the first one is probably the one that takes the most effort to get the inertia going.
It absolutely is. And so if we can make this one big enough, next year we'll naturally triple. And we'll attract more people. And we'll have a bigger effect on the problem. And so if we can just keep that inertia going year after year after year, we can start to make a dent.
Well, let's do the best we can to get this event to start off, the very first one, the inaugural event.
Right.
So how's this going to play out? What day does the final, is it this Saturday, right?
Starts at 4 o'clock at Camp Jordan.
Camp Jordan,
in
okay.
In the amphitheater.
It's a beautiful, that's a great venue. It's great for families. They got your little fishing area there. I mean, that's a good place.
Yep. We're going to kick off with, of course, an invocation. We're going to have a praise team that's going to perform for 20 minutes. We're going to have a discussion about one of the things Tennessee is doing, which is amazing, is working with the faith-based coalition. They've created a faith-based coalition across the state of Tennessee where they're bringing churches together because they've got the deepest reach into the population. So if they arm them with resources
and knowledge,
then we've got coverage everywhere that can help people. And so we're going to let Tennessee talk about that for a little while. Then we're going to bring on our first performer. And our first performer, I believe, is Mountain Creek House Fire.
Okay.
So they're a local band. They've performed at Riverbend. They're very well known. They have a good local following. Should be good entertainment. Then we'll break for a while and have some conversation. Throughout the day, we're going to have a recovery court judge that's going to talk. We're going to have story told, about experience with drugs and recovery.
It's important to see people on the other end of the process to say, wow, okay, you may have been in my position, but here's what I can look forward to.
That's right.
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned that you're in recovery. That is an important aspect of being able to minister to these people, because as much as someone's heart might be desiring to, if you haven't walked in those shoes for a while, you're not going to be as effective as a counselor to the people. You just aren't.
Well,
it seems like it's an important aspect of that effective recovery counseling is, I'm talking to you because I've been you.
Yeah, and I mean, that statement's even made in the 12-step programs. You know, the fellowship that I belong to, it's in the readings, it even says that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. And it truly is, because you've got people that can identify with what you've been through. And I'm going to tell you something about that. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is when you get in an environment like that and people talk about identification, when it comes down to it, an addict is not identifying with another addict because he used dope. An addict is identifying with another addict because they felt the same way as each other did before they got into the dope to begin with.
Right.
Because that's where it all starts.
They know what they lost. They've lost the same things.
That's right. You know, I felt this. I did feel out of place. I didn't fit in. I didn't belong. I didn't measure up. I had low self-esteem. For whatever it was, that's where the identification really is. Because even in recovery, those feelings don't go away. We just learn tools to cope with them.
Right.
So I can identify with the fact that you still feel like a nut bucket and want to go out screaming, using drugs, but I have tools to help you not do
right.
that.
And it's important to say, you know what? That passes. Right, what you're feeling right now, that's momentary. The reality is, in a lot of situations, and sometimes I like to say it straight out, in this situation, you are going to be required to suffer some. You're not going to get out of the suffering aspect of when I quit smoking, my wife and I quit smoking, we realized we will suffer. Regardless of when we used the patch and all that, and we did it the right way, but you're not going to get out of some of those things without walking through that dark water.
Right, but this too shall pass.
And that's an important part, because at the other end of part of the suffering is, part of the despair is, it feels like it's unending. It feels like it's open-ended.
That's right.
And when you're there, you're like, this isn't going to, there is no end in sight. It's important to hear that little voice, or maybe the voice comes from a recovered addict that says, yes, there is, and it gets much, much better after this.
Yep. So to take you on a little further through the day, we're going to have a comedian, Bob Perkel, that's coming out from California. He's been on CNN.
He looks like a whack job. He's a whack job.
And he's in recovery himself.
Cool.
He is identifies as a recovery comedian. He does all kinds of AA and NA conventions.
I was going to say, no one's funnier than a former drug addict.
Yep.
And if you'd like to get a hold of him by telephone, it's 423-476-4860. Admission, as it should be.
Absolutely
free. Just anything, what other information would you like to get out there in the last couple of, a minute and a half we have?
It is a family-friendly environment, right. So we're going to have concessions there, food you can buy. Bring food if you want. You can bring out your lunchbox and spread out your blanket. Bring an umbrella just in case it rains. Yeah. I don't think it's going to, but you might want to use it for sun, too, if it's hot.
Bring some bread, because there's ducks there.
That's right. There's going to be a bounce house, painting, stuff for the kids.
Sounds pretty good, huh, Max?
It's just going to be a good day. And then Matt Butler is going to finish up performance. He's also a recovery performer.
Yeah, maybe what I'm taking from what you said, and you said at the very beginning of our interview, is that what this does is it shows the people out there in the community that we care about you.
That's a fact.
And that's an important thing to know. It's like, you know what? Not thinking that people care does a lot to erode your self-esteem and your and contribute to despair. And it's nice to see people out there like you who are bringing the light. Thank you so much for coming for your Pirate Springs recovery. So that's going to be this Saturday. It's going to start from 4 o'clock till 9 p.m. It's going to be at Camp Jordan. The number again, if you'd like to get hold of it, 423-476-4860. Thank you so much, sir. We're going to take another quick break. We'll see you on this side on Fred the Show on the Talk Monster.